Cosby and Bob Burns with Connie Boswell, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, and the Music Maids. Bing's special guests for this evening are Edward Arnold and J. Carroll Nash, two of the most popular heavies in the movies, and Cliff Nazaro, a student of modern English. And here's Bing Crosby.
Casey would waltz with a strawberry blonde,
and the band played on.
He'd glide across the floor with a girl he adored,
and the band played on.
But his brain was so loaded, it nearly exploded. The poor girl would shake with alarm. He'd ne'er leave the girl with a strawberry curl.
And the band played on.
But his brain was so loaded, it nearly exploded. The poor girl would shake with alarm. He'd ne'er leave the girl with a strawberry curl.
In addition to shilling for Casey, the band is playing to welcome such craft music hall visitors as J. Carroll Nash, Cliff Nazaro, and Edward Arnold, who is at present giving one of the finest performances of his career as the unscrupulous newspaper publisher in Frank Capra's new film, Meet John Doe. Funny that Ed should always be playing meanies when, in reality, he's one of the most charitable and considerate men in the screen colony. Just goes to show what a fine actor is, for if he were to play himself, as so many actors out here in Hollywood do, any characterization of a newspaper publisher that he might come up with would be the type of tycoon who'd call all his reporters into the front office and say,
"Ladies and gentlemen of the staff of the Daily Dose, I know how inconsiderate it is of me to ask you to come into the office on Monday, but you may have noticed that for the last 2 months we haven't been selling any papers."
Yeah, and as city editor of this rag, I can tell you why. Let me get some experienced guys on the Daily Dose. Let's get rid of some of these jeeters like this news reporter you got, this fellow Burns.
Oh, Burns is a quaint old character.
Check, check. But he ain't got the faintest idea how to dig up news.
Oh, he must have. Everybody knows there's only one way to get the news. Isn't that so, Burns?
It sure is, Chief. Now, if you just tell me what that one way is, I'll go out and get the news.
Why, my dear man, all you have to do to get the news is turn on the radio.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Of course. It's as simple as ABC.
Yeah, but what's ABC?
Well, I'm really surprised at you, Burns. You told me you were an experienced reporter. You told me you worked on lots of rags.
I did.
He even told me he worked on a sheet he owned himself.
Worked on your own sheet? You mean to say you published your own newspaper?
Oh, no. I do my own laundry.
Oh, that's very funny, Mr. Burns. Very funny. I'm sure the Bright Sayings of Children editor will give you a dollar for that one.
Oh, no, he won't.
Oh, you've already tried to sell it.
No, but I'm sure the Bright Sayings of Children editor won't give me a dollar for that joke.
Ooh, how could you be so sure?
I'm the Bright Sayings of Children editor.
Now, you see why we ain't selling any papers?
Well, I should think people would like to buy the Daily Dose, because I should think our papers would make people very happy.
What? With all those blank pages in them, how's a paper without news going to make people happy?
Well, haven't you heard? No news is good news. Oh.
Well, now, you ain't going to fire me, are you, Chief?
No, no, I never fire anybody on this paper. We'll just have to make a place for you. Now, let me see. Do you think you could handle the movie reviews?
Well, I don't know nothing about acting.
You're telling me?
I can handle them movie reviews, Chief. Boy, I'm a real movie fan. As a matter of fact, my three favorite stars are Mary Marsmiller, Elmo Lincoln, and the Pearls of Pauline.
Is that so? You know, I like Anita Stewart, Earl Williams, and the Keystone Cops. But I'm like you are. I don't like the talkies either.
Talkies? What are they?
Wonderful, wonderful. You're just the girl to write our movie reviews. Have you ever written anything before?
Well, I once sent a story into the Truth Confession magazine. Oh, boy.
Did the editor accept it?
No, but he came all the way from New York to meet me. Oh, boy.
That's very interesting. Very interesting indeed. What are you doing tonight, babe?
Listen, Steve. Let's settle down and see if we can't pull this house organ you publish out of the red.
Well, I'll do anything you suggest, Crosby. Anything within reason.
Well, can I at least slap a so long on that sports writer you hired the other day?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
You're going to let me go after that front page story I turned in last night?
Well, the man's right, Crosby. It was a wonderful story. We scooped the entire town. The Daily Dose was the only paper that even mentioned the aquaplane meet in the YMCA pool.
Aquaplane meet in the Y pool?
Well, Carpenter got the story.
Carpenter got the story. Carpenter got blind.
Oh, yeah? I suppose if I was blind, I could have seen all those little bitty men with the green whiskers aquaplaning around the Y pool.
Yes, using tongue depressors for aquaplanes.
Oh, now listen here, Chief. That's the coldest corn in town. You're not sailing for this hooey that this...
Sailing for it? I was with him.
Oh, well, that's different. But just suppose, this is crazy, I know, but just suppose it turns out that there wasn't any aquaplane meet in the YMCA pool last night.
Good. Then nobody can sue us for describing it incorrectly. Huh?
That's right. But as long as the staff's taking bows, Chief, I suppose that wasn't just a yummy yarn that I got. You know the one on the political meeting at the Civic Center last night? Some stuff, huh?
Well, where is it?
It's right here on the front page in a box. See? Under my regular heading, Harry Lillis at Civic Center.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Do they seem to like you down there in the Civic Center, Harry?
Oh, yes. I'm getting to be a very big man around the center. Look at this story here. Just take a look at the story. It's right here on the front page, Steve.
Let's see. His Honor Mayor Peter Papa Pukenbottom spoke before the parents of Ward 8 last night. He said nothing, and it took him 3 hours.
Nice, huh, Chief?
Yeah, splendid. Splendid. Keep it standing. We can use the same story every time somebody makes a political speech.
Sure. Anything else?
Yes. Where's that reporter I sent down to New Mexico to cover the Indian ceremonial dances?
Y'all mean me, boss?
Oh, yes. There you are. I didn't see you.
Oh, you need glasses, too.
Well, did you get the story I wanted on the Indian ceremonial dances?
I couldn't, Chief. I was plumb wore out. Honest, Chief, I was beat to my socks. But I sure would have got that story for you if I hadn't been so tired.
You mean to say that you were too tired to get into Indian costume and mingle with the Indians during the ceremonies?
Yes, sir, boss. I was just too tired.
Oh, that's nonsense. How much work does it take to put on an Indian feather bonnet?
Not much, Chief, but I didn't want to be tarred and feathered.
Now, there ain't that many feathers, Chief.
Well, now, I've had enough of the shilly-shallying. I want my newspapers to look like other California newspapers. Mm-hmm. I want them to have stories like other California newspapers. Stories like this. A hitherto reliable source close to an unimpeachable authority that refused to be quoted said today that there is positive verification of an unfounded rumor that peculiar never before seen in the vicinity of Southern California and was allegedly seen by an unidentified group of observers during the last 2 weeks. After causing considerable delay in traffic at various points and then mysteriously disappearing, it has been rumored it may be a new and potent defense weapon seen for the first time in Los Angeles.
Gee, Chief, what is it?
Rain.
Rain? Rain?
Yeah, you know, that stuff that makes the water that runs under the bridge run over the bridge.
You know, there's just one more thing I want to talk to you people about. I think the Daily Dose ought to have a South American policy.
Mm-hmm.
A good neighbor policy. Anybody got any ideas?
I know a Mexican speaks Spanish too good.
Well, I've got an idea, Chief. Suppose we start publishing a South American song every day. I know one I think everybody would like. It goes like this. A boy found a dream upon a distant shore. A maid with a way of whispering, senor. Each night guitar would softly play. The tune seemed to dance around the words that he'd say. I'm a polar, my pretty little poppy. You're like the lovely flower, so sweet and heavenly. Since I found you, my heart is wrapped around you, and loving you it seems to be a rhapsody. I'm a polar, and my pretty little poppy must copy that endearing charm from me. I'm a polar, how I long to hear you say, I love you. I'm a polar, little poppy, lovely flower, so sweet and heavy. heaven. If I find you, my heart is wrapped around you. Love is with you, it seems to be. It seems to be the rhapsody of my full love, my full love. Poppy, poppy, all its charms from you. I'm a full love, I'm a full love. How I long to hear you say I love you, really I do. I'm a full love.
That was very fine, Miss Boswell. I think the Daily Dose would really wake up if we had something like that in it.
Goodbye now, goodbye now. I thought the party was divine. I spent the evening getting the time. I can't deny, but now goodbye. Goodbye now, goodbye now. Keep the trip by taxi, wasn't far. We'd linger longer if we had a car. No use to cry, now goodbye. There's one advantage to our leaving. Brings about a special kiss. I hope that this will be eternity. A momentary parting, just a second, then we're starting. So goodbye now, goodbye now. It's just a moment and we're apart. To make it certain, I'll leave you my heart. But for now, goodbye now. We're apart. To make
now the party was divine.
About a special kiss. I hope that this will be eternally a momentary parting, just a second and we're starting. So goodbye now, goodbye now. Just a moment and we're apart. To make it certain, I'll leave you my heart. But for now, goodbye now. At present, working on 20th Century Fox picture Blazing Sands, being seen in full Technicolor with our colleague Don Ameche in the 20th Century Fox film One Night in Rio. It's been nearly 2 years since that fine Irish gypsy Carol Patrick Joseph Sarsfield Nash, for convenience on the marquee, they boil that down to J. Carol Nash. As I started to say, it's been nearly 2 years since J. Carol was last with us here in the Old Craft Music Hall. At that time, and I guess it'll stand repeating, we pointed out that Carol Nash is the type of actor who's so handy with the crepe hair and the nose putty and so adroit with dialects that even his best friends sometimes come from seeing a picture in which he's playing wondering which one was Carol. And to confuse people further, Carol's last name, Nash, is spelt the Gaelic or the hard way, N-A-I-S-H. So when you hear people speak of the fine acting of a man named Naish or Nash or Nish or Nahish, it's still Carol. I guess I caught all the different mispronunciations of Nash, didn't I, Carol?
Well, not quite, Bing. You missed one.
Well, give us a reading.
You know my friend Akim Temirov.
Know him? Why, we only trooped together in the Moscow Art Theater for years.
Well,
yeah.
Now, you know, I suspected that, Bing. But to get back to Akim, when I first met him, it was when he first arrived here several years ago, he had a slight accent. So after we were introduced, he insisted on calling me Mr. Ness.
Mr. Ness.
Of course, after a while, we got to be very good friends, and he dropped the mister and just called me Nets.
Well, you ain't Nets, Carol. I want to tell you, I sure envy your ability to use makeup the way you do.
Well, you shouldn't envy me, Bob. That's a beautiful job you've got on right now.
Oh, this, that's me.
Are you kidding?
Honest.
Well, then what do you want makeup for?
Well, what do you want with it?
Well, not being recognized in some of the pictures I've played in has its advantages.
Ain't it the truth?
And not being recognized makes it possible to play a lot of different characters.
Well, if I hadn't been recognized in my last picture, I could still be playing the same character.
There must be a pipe for the 10%ers to peddle a guy like you, Carol. All an agent has to do is find out what a casting director's looking for, and you're it.
Did you ever see a casting director who knew what he was looking for, Ben?
Oh, well, you can't discourage me, Carol. I'd like to sell an actor like you. I think I might have a bit of flair for that sort of thing.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I fancy myself cutting quite a caper, following my card into a producer's office and having him rise graciously from his chair, come forward and shake me by the hand and say...
No casting today. Get out.
Oh. Now, wait a minute, Mr. Arnold. I got the greatest Russian comedian in the world here. I want you to meet Karolovich Neshki.
Oh, well, the face looks familiar. You say he's a comedian?
How are you going to doubt it after looking at that face?
I am a Russian comedian. Very sad.
Well, who wants a sad comedian?
American comedians make people laugh so hard they cry. No?
Some do.
I cut out the middleman. No laughing. Just crying.
Well, I can't use you.
Now, you're going to regret this, Mr. Arnold, and good day, sir.
And now that you've gone, Miss Boswell, take a letter.
Oh, I took a letter yesterday.
Well, 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 Mr. Arnold, you are a lucky man. Just leave the door open and in I walk.
Even an opportunity knocks.
Very good, very good. Shake hands with the greatest find ever to come out of South America, Senor Carlos Nachero.
Ah, buenos dias, Senor Arnold. It's great pleasure to meet such a big man as you. I see you are very big in North America. I am sure you would be equally big in South America, too. Well, now that I look at you, I can see you are very big man all over.
Say, haven't I met you someplace before?
Met him before, and I don't be like that. This guy just rumbled in from Rio. And I brought him right to you because I knew you'd want to snap him up.
But what'd you do?
I speak 10 years I spend playing Carmen. And he asks me what I do.
You spend all the time playing Carmen, the opera?
No, Carmen Miranda.
Well, then you're not a singer.
I do not need to sing, amigo. I am a character. A Billy from the hills. Down in Brazil, they call me, amigo, the South American Bob Burns. See? I play the bazookero.
Well, that's not going to be any help to the good neighbor policy, I'll tell you that. Where did you learn to play that?
Well, I learned to play it from my grandfather, the famous Don Sebastian Miguel Pablo Hernandez Maria Palermo y Gonzalez Snazzi. You can use me, no?
No.
Come, we go. Adios, muchachos.
You know, it's too bad I can't use that fella. He's real good.
I don't get it, boss. If he's so good, why can't you use him?
Well, why should I be the one to pioneer giving audiences something good?
Well, Arnold, you're a lucky guy to be in, because I just got something off the boat from France that's going to run all the alleged American lovers right down a gopher hole.
What, you again?
Lucky for you. I want you to hear the work of Monsieur Pierre-Jacques-Alphonse Charlot de Lanez, the greatest lover of the French stage.
Say, haven't I seen you someplace before?
No. Monsieur Flatters.
Show him how you can pitch a little woo, Charlot. Not too hot now. Just give him the B treatment.
Ah, my sweet, my adorable, my wonderful one. There is no one in the world like you, Sherry. You are so beautiful. You are so smart, so clever.
Just a minute. Before I can tell if that's good lovemaking, who are you lovemaking to?
Me.
Now, just a minute. I'm not looking for any French lovers. All I'm casting today is a guy who can sing an Irish ballad.
Well, why didn't you say so? Shake hands with B.B. Nash.
Well, sure, it's a great pleasure to be meeting a fine man like yourself, Mr. Arnold, especially if you're going to be giving me a job.
Well, that depends upon how you can sing. Now, let's see. You say your name's B.B. Nash? What's the B.B. for?
Bobby Breen.
Go ahead, Nash. Start singing before he throws us out again.
There's a song that every Irish man and woman loves the best. Sure, it was not sung by Caruso, Zetterazzini, or the rest. But it's sung right straight out from the heart, My sons of Erin's Isle, it's a song that makes the teardrop start across an Irish smile. You'll hear it at the cradle, you'll hear it at the grave, wherever Irish hearts are true, beneath all flags that wave. And whenever Paddy hears it, he'll lift his old cowbeam. For it's a song that reaches Irish hearts nowhere in all the green.
Oh, that's fine. That's very good. But you know, do you know that fine old Irish song, Rose of Tralee?
Well, now, doesn't that take the cake, Bing? The Rose of Tralee. He's asking me if I know the Rose of Tralee. Me, who's got the lakes of Killarney in me heart, and an overwhelming love for the old sod surging through the very veins of me. And you're asking me if I know the Rose of Tralee. Me, how does it go?
Oh, you know that one, Cal. It goes like this. Listen.
The pale moon was rising above the green mountain, the sun of men was declining beneath the blue sea. When I strayed with my love to the pure crystal fountain that stands in the beautiful Vale of Tralee. She was lovely and fair as the rose of the summer. Yet 'twas not her beauty alone that won me. Oh no, 'twas the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me love Mary, the Rose of Tralee. She was lovely and fair as the rose of the summer, yet 'twas not her beauty alone that won me. Oh no, 'twas the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me love Mary, the Rose of Tralee.
Thus, friends, the song goes so far back into the history of Ireland that it's listed merely as traditional.
You know, Dr. Crosby, I just saw something wonderful.
Anyone we know?
Oh, now, Dr. Crosby, that's not what I'm talking about. Just saw something that I really got a bang out of.
What do you mean you got a bang out of?
Well, when I say I got a bang out of something, it made me feel, well, something like this.
Or vice president.
And that, Dr. Crosby, is what I mean when I say I got a bang out of something.
Yeah. You know what they're saying around the gym. They say you once got a bang out of falling out of your cradle smack dab on your anterior fontanelle.
What's the anterior fontanelle? What's that?
That's the soft spot on the pup's noggin. Now, go feel around for yours while I fumble through further craft music hall fumadiddles involving Robin.
Now, what's
Edward Arthur, J. Carol Nash, and Cliff Nazaro. Connie Boswell, Andy Segrist, and I have had a few requests to come around again with a Helvick Scott original called You Ain't Kidding. Even the slightest encouragement gets an encore out of us.
Well, we had our tick, so I ain't got no kick, I guess. But since I took that rap, I've had my happiness. No kick.
Don't she like how you talk all the wag in your wall?
She says I walk on the bias.
Don't she like the way you dress?
She just calls me a mess.
Well, she ain't kidding.
Why must you say what you say? She's got me wasting away.
Son, you could stand the little wasting around your waist.
Oh, believe me,
that ain't kidding.
Back in the rat killer. Hey, Bob.
Hey. Yeah.
What do you call that? What's that?
Oh, Bing, that's my new theme song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. That is announcing Bob Burns and the Sweetest Music, the other side of him.
Well, why? Well, yeah, you're at it. Don't you announce that you're also available for sweet stage, screen, radio, and meat market openings? Put that in.
Thing, you just threw that in to be mean.
I did not.
Yeah, but listen, you can kid me if you want to, but I ain't doing so bad.
I ain't kidding so good either.
Well, the other night... Listen, night before last, I played at the opening of a drugstore, and I got 65 cents an hour and all the pills I could eat. There's only one favor I want to ask of the people visiting in the hall tonight. Please don't talk while I'm giving my piano recital. Because some of the things I hear don't make me feel any too good. Do you know that the last time I gave a piano recital here in the hall, there was a nice-looking couple. They were sitting right down there. And right in the middle of my piano solo, he took a little bottle out of his pocket and he handed it to her and he says, "There, dear, there's only two more aspirins left. You take them." and she says, "Well, darling, that wouldn't be fair for me to take the last two aspirins." And he says, "No, go ahead. You take the aspirins out of the bottle and give me the cotton." I can't get my mind on my music just worrying about Ed Arnold. The idea of him starting in the newspaper business. I wonder if he knows what he's in for. That's a tough business. If he wants to learn something about the newspaper business, let him go down to Van Buren and talk to my newspaper uncle. That's my uncle, Arthur Brisbane Hink. That's his name. He used to publish the Argus. That is before, of course, Hugh Park bought it. And the Argus is a big paper now. They're publishing it. They're printing it on both sides of the sheet now. But this uncle, at the time he had it, he did everything. He knew the newspaper business from A to Izzard. And he not only wrote all the editorials in it, but he was the first newspaper man to publish a column called Helpful Hints for Housewives. He was the first, he had a column there that was just full of original recipes. He was the first man to tell the housewives how to make an omelet for 14 people out of one egg and a bicycle pump. And not only that, Uncle Hank was the first man to start a scandal column in his newspaper. And he did all the work himself. He wrote it himself. I was there in all hands the morning he went out to college. First assignment. He put on his hat and he says, well, I'm going out and get some material for my scandal column. And when he got to the door, he turned around. He says, well, goodbye, boys. I'll be back in a flash with the trash. And you know, 3 weeks later, he comes staggering back in the office. And I'm telling you, he looks so wore out and dejected. He went over and slumped down in his chair, and he says, there ain't going to be no scandal column. He says, it keeps you on the go too much. And I says, well, what's the matter, Uncle Hank? And he says, I'm telling you, I just run myself ragged. He says, the first keyhole I tried to look through was on a trailer. So then he cut out that. He didn't publish that scandal column, and so he put in a column called Embarrassing Moments. And he used to pay a dollar for every one of those things that come in. And I'll never forget this morning, I went to him with a letter. I said, here's a man that wrote in. He says that his most embarrassing moment was when he caught another fella kissing his wife. I says, you want me to send him a dollar? And Uncle Hank says, no, I want to be fair about this. He says, you better send him $2. I figure the other fellow was embarrassed, too. Well, now, you those things to do. He makes a lot of mistakes, but he only made one little mistake all the time that he was in the newspaper business. And that was one time when, I don't know why I'm telling you all these things, right at one time when a woman suffered was that come to Van Buren to give a lecture. And she took an ad out in Uncle Hank's paper. And she told him that the title of her lecture would be Woman. Without her, man would be a savage. Well, sir, next morning when he come out with that big ad in big letters, I thought them women would kill him just because he just made one little mistake in punctuation. Instead of it saying woman, without her, man would be a savage, it says woman without her, man would be a savage. You know, I think Uncle Hank reached the height in his newspaper career when he started this crusade against crime and there in the paper. And he had a slogan there. He had a slogan that says, a slug for every slug. For every thug, I mean. You know, like all good newspaper men, I could always find him right in the thick of all the trouble. And I'll never forget this day that this bunch of gangsters swooped into Van Buren in a big high-powered car, and they pulled up in front of the bank, and with drawn machine guns, they rushed into the bank, stole all the money, and they come out and jumped in the car, and with them machine guns blazing away, they tore out up Main Street as hard as they could go. And when he was putting her out of sight, Uncle Hank come peeking around the corner of the bank. There wasn't a soul on the street, except there was one old man with a long gray beard. He come peeking around the corner in a wheelchair. Uncle Hank jumped in the wheelchair with the old man. He pointed up Main Street. He says, follow that car. Well, now, like all good newspaper men, Uncle Hank, too, had his little eccentricities. And that's what I'm leading up to tonight. You probably wondered. But Uncle Hank, he just loved to dance in the mud with his bare feet. And tonight I'm going to show you how Uncle Hank sounded when he was dancing in the mud. Now, you'll remember at the last part, Uncle Hank gets stuck. And I'm going to accompany him on the piano. I just hope I don't get stuck, too. Now,
we leave Burns now. We'll leave Burns beating his pants in the mud and come now to a new song. A song called My Mind's on You. John Scott, if you will. My mind's on you, but what can I do? The whole day through, I'm thinking of you. The things I ought to know, I soon forget. All I remember is the day we met. When people pass and ask me what's new, I tell them all that your eyes are so blue. My friends keep saying this will never do, but when they're through, my mind's on you. Bob's forthcoming film, Rookies on Parade. But after all, as Cliff himself said to me a few days ago, there's more to life than getting laughs.
I always say that when I'm not getting any.
And there, friends, is proof that Cliff is something of a philosopher.
Fatalist.
Well, at any rate, it's neither as a master of double talk, nor as a philosopher, nor as a fatalist that we welcome Cliff to the old Kraft Music Hall.
Maybe I'd better go now while I'm still on the upbeat.
Oh, no, Cliff. The latch string's always on the outside here for such composers as yourself. Nor am I toying with the truth when I say that your symphonic concerto, which you allowed us to introduce here in the hall a few months back, is still bringing us a constant flow of letters from music lovers anxious to know your whereabouts.
They're still after me, eh?
Kidding on the square, Cliff. We got a lot of mail about that composition. Even though this evening you're turning to opera, we pray that it doesn't mean that you have completely forsaken the writing of symphonies.
I'm afraid so, Bing. The symphony feels too crowded. Too much competition in the symphony writing game.
Oh, come now, Cliff. Surely you're not afraid of such Johnny-come-latelys as Stravinsky, Sibelius, Rachmaninoff, and Grünberg.
Those guys, no. I'm not afraid of them. But when it comes to writing symphonies, what chance have I got against Mickey Rooney?
Well, what chance has anybody got against Mickey Rooney?
Anybody who knows goes bingo.
I declare, I think Rooney can do everything except play the bazooka.
Well, that exception alone could make him popular.
Well, if you don't mind my saying so, Bing, I think Cliff's symphonic concerto is a very worthy work.
Ah, there's encouragement, Cliff. Eddie Arnold's a real music lover.
I'd like to buy the original manuscript of that composition.
He's a real music lover, all right.
Oh, now, that's not fair, Bob. I heard Cliff's work, and I think it's fine. In fact, Cliff played it for Carol Nash and myself, and Carol liked it too, didn't you, Carol?
Well, of course I did, Ed, and listening to it, I saw dancing in front of my eyes all the little people of the Emerald Isle.
Well, it's a funny thing. I didn't see it like that. When Cliff played, I saw the great rolling surf crashing against the rock-ribbed coast of Maine in front of my eyes.
When I heard it, I saw spots in front of my eyes.
Well, how could you see the surf, Ed, when the man was writing music about the little people of Ireland?
Oh, you Irishmen see the little people on everything. That music was obviously descriptive of the surf beating against the coast of Maine, wasn't it, Cliff?
Well, I'll tell you what I had in mind. You see, when I wrote that composition, I felt that I'd take all the authors and play the horses specifically and let them come in and watch the staff when they're bringing out the type of music set with horses separately when they had to carry a sailor meeting.
Yeah.
Just so I'd trace the stuff. Mm-hmm. I could have just as well railed or put him in the case. Mm-hmm. But I just want to raise the hunting cattle board to be not the types of the user. They're very soft leaders.
Funny thing, you know, that's just how it struck me.
I still don't quite get the picture.
Neither do I.
Well, you see, you have to visualize. Now, you take Bob. Bob said he saw spots in front of his eyes. And you said the thing in today with these composers, if you see something at Forster's Fate, well, who does your laundry?
Yeah.
People today with sort of race come in the morning to start the type of music they have. And opera says, well, fellas like Stravinsky, LaVos, we had to go on and place out the type of music with the race. And bring out the little people who to play in the morning. Sure. So I visualize bringing out the saddle of the tilt. The dills, the ball. Process.
You got it now, Ed?
Yes, why, certainly it's merely a matter of objectivity. I mean, for those who prefer to see what happened, well, you take it just as it is. Now, what's the difference?
Well, on the other hand, Ed, think of the pregregio diminuendo that creates a mood that is or is not in itself. And on the other hand, well, you've got to take the bitter with the gin. Isn't that so, Cliff?
Say, Bing, don't look now, but what in the world are these two jazzers gabbing about?
I've no patience with people who talk ambiguously. Still, they're easier to understand than the idea of one man singing the sextet from Lucia. Why do you do it?
It's a living. And I find it easier to sing a sextet than a solo, because when I sing a solo and make a mistake, everybody knows who it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm singing a sextet and then I make a mistake, who is it?
Let me see if I can tell. The sextet from Lucia, sung by Cliff Nazaro.
Qualche parte c'era quel varco e quel sacciare della qualche via quel tempore che guardi si deperde qua e ti posso questa portle fosse sempre trepli e ti posso questa presso sempre di stare in prezzi crimson.
That's fine, Cliff. Contrary to any subsequently formed opinion, that was the sextet from Lucia. Lucia can have it back, too.
Not my arrangement.
Well, you can keep that, Cliff, but here is a lovely thing. Friends, Connie Boswell, singing It All Comes Back to Me Now.
Boswell. It all comes to me now. All summer starry skies, all laughing you and I. It all comes back to me now. A sea of midnight blue, your face uplifted to my own. We called it a thrill of the moment and blame them up above. We didn't know what the glow meant. We never dreamed it might be love. It all comes back to me now. The love I threw away, and now each lonely night I pray that it will all come back to me. Come didn't know what the glow meant. We never dreamed it would love. It all comes back to me now. The love I threw away, and now each lonely night I pray that it will all come back to me.
It was beautiful, Connie. Very, very lovely. I'm sure that was something that'll endure long in your listeners' memories. But if we're going to endure, though, let's hope there's a little space left in their memories for something like this.
Have you discovered what a treasure Velveeta is to have in the refrigerator? With this cheese food on hand, you're ready for practically any menu emergency. It's great for the children's snacks because Velveeta's rich in milk protein and milk minerals. It's an excellent source of vitamins A and G and as digestible as milk itself. But let's take another situation. Say the Joneses drop in for bridge. Ah, lucky the lady who has Velveeta in the refrigerator. She can whip out some smacking good toasted sandwiches practically while her hand is dummy at the bridge table. Or maybe she'll decide to regale the guests with a Welsh rarebit. Smooth melting Velveeta turns the trick in the double boiler easily. Or perhaps you're stuck for a dinner dessert in a hurry. Well, just slices of Velveeta and crackers and a little fresh fruit will be perfect. You see, everybody loves Velveeta's rich yet mild cheddar cheese flavor. And that's one reason why so many clever women buy the thrifty 2-pound Velveeta loaf. They keep it on hand all the time for cooking as well as for snacks. Kraft also packs a 1/2-pound package, too. So stock up tomorrow on helpful, delicious Velveeta. Thank you.
Very nice treatment of Polichinelle, Scotto. Then you treat all those things tastefully. Let's see if you still have your touch with a modern ballad, something like May I Never Love Again. May I never see the sun go down. May I never feel the falling rain. If the love that I declare isn't all that's right and fair, may I never love again. May I never see the blue of the sky, nor the moon and stars down lover's lane. May I never live a day if I don't mean what I say. May I never love again. Sweetheart, when I'm with you, I'm not a foolish pretender. Sweetheart, if you love me too, all I possess I'd surrender. May I never feel your tender lips. May you never take my love. You're the answer to my prayer, but if your love isn't there, may I never, no, I'll never love again. But if your love isn't there, may I never, no, I'll never love again.
That's got to get it till next week at this same time, when over and above such regulars as Robin Burns, Constance Boswell, John Scott Trotter and Group, and the Music Maids, our friend Don Amici is going to be on hand, as well as George Murphy and Eddie Bracken. That's a lively group of gents. So till next Thursday, adios.
The Kraft Music Hall comes to you from Hollywood's Radio City.